Morning, everybody. How you doing? It's a beautiful day, isn't it? I don't want to hear anybody complaining. Really don't. But it is a beautiful day. It's a great day to be here. And then we're going to start today with 621, and let's stand. 621.
On the Lord's side, who will serve the King? Who will be His helpers, other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe?
Sing the last.
Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the King's own army none can overthrow. Round His standard raging, victory is secure. The triumph sure, joyfully enlisting by Thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are Thine.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, again for the beautiful day, the opportunity to be here today in Your house. Thanks for those that made it out today, Lord. Keep us safe this past week. The many, many things that You did for us, Lord. The daily provision. Just getting us through the week, Lord. Thank You. Thank You, Lord, for this great nation we live in, Lord, for the many, many problems it has. The biggest problem, Lord, in our nation is folks ain't in church. They're not listening. They're not getting learned, Lord. They're not paying attention to what's going on. But, Lord, we're here today to try to do just a little bit of that. Help us today, Lord, as we listen to Pastor, that what You have for us today would be real information for us. Be something, Lord, we can stick in our heart and use, Lord, in our daily lives as we leave the building today. But, Lord, before any of us leave today, I pray that if someone needs You, they'd get straightened out, Lord, before they leave today. Thank You, Lord, for all that we do, Lord, our lives, things that we're around, Lord, people we meet. I just pray, Lord, for opportunities for all of us that we can talk to someone of You, Lord. We need it, Lord. You can see it every day in our lives. Our world's falling apart. But, Lord, it's Your plan, and it's Your battle, Lord. But the thing is, Lord, we've already won. The battle's Yours, Lord. It's secured. Help us today, Lord, to remember that, to know it. Help us to have attentive hearts and minds, Lord, for what you have through us today through Pastor. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's see. We're going to 194, please. 194. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we have evening service. Don't forget to show up for that, folks. It's a good time. Personal evangelism is on the 25th at 6. Wilton Bible study, the 27th at 6. Our fellowship is going to be next week. Is that right?
No.
August 6th is our fellowship. And also, Steve Muindi from Kenya is coming here to talk to us about his work there. And then we have women's retreat at Walnut Park, November the 4th. We're going to have a church picnic this fall, but we ain't got no date yet, so pay attention there.
Yes, we do.
We do.
I believe it's September 16th.
I don't have it, but that's okay.
Yeah.
September 16th, we're planning on having a church picnic, probably on down here at the Fruitland Park. So don't forget that. Let's see. Did I get it all read here? Sermon titles I got. Oh, are speaking for tonight, finding, giving value in the gathering of the church. And then this morning, we got continuing with exploring God's rules and roles for the two sexes. Let's see. Oh, and then one of the many reasons we live in troubled times. Yep, we got that. Let's see. Did I get the rest of it? Yep. Oh, the kitchen team for next week is Marilyn, Kay, and Autumn, because Sandra's going to be gone. So, services that follow, got all that. I think I got one liner here I got to read. This: a man is rich according to what he has, what he is, not what he has. And let's see, I got one more here. This guy, pastor, his thought for the week comes from Galatians 9. Don't give up. The day you quit is often the day you wish that you hadn't. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up more and off. Let's pray. Father, we can't even begin to thank you for all that you do for us, Lord, and have done for us. Thank you most of all for your love for us and your mercy, Lord, shown on us by the sacrifice of your Son for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, today that we can know him. Thank you that we're here today to gather to listen to a bit of preaching, Lord. Guide and direct my pastor as he does so. And now, Lord, we're going to take up an offering. I just ask you to be with the gift and the givers to do so. And thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, ladies. We got three songs today, and we're going to do 801, please. 801.
Shout of acclamation
and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great.
Let's see, we got special music today. Kim's going to play for us now.
I'll tell you what, well, we'll have time for that later, Bert. Right now, we've got things to get done, though, right? Good morning, everyone. Welcome to morning worship at Fruitland. And we're glad for all that have come through those doors. I am thankful to God for my wife, Kim. I'm thankful to Him for many things. That song, of course, is about the joyfulness we ought to have in our heart with the Lord. I got up this morning for the first time just as the light was breaking, the dawn, and I just said, thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day. And we ought to be thankful for all the things and have joy. But I will say this about Kim, and I don't brag about people, but she is a joyful person by nature. And I am not. And she'll fill you in on all those details if you're interested. But I tend to always have a burden. She has a blessing. And that's why we coexist. The Lord put us together. Always some craziness in our family. What about yours? Again, I say that carefully. Chaos. I like to use the terms controlled chaos in our place. But anyway, good to see you here today. And mostly I see smiles. There's a few people like Adelissa, some grumps, but you've all seen that sign in Adelissa. Saw it again yesterday or day before yesterday when we went to the fair in the afternoon. I think it's 272, population 272 and two grumps. So you're always going to have that kind of thing, folks, but we need to rejoice today in the Lord. But I welcome you all, whether you're here for the umpteenth time or if you're visiting with us today. There is a reason you're here, And there is a reason that we exist here. And the first thing that we exist for is to bring glory to God. That's in our personal lives, but also corporately as a church. We're also here as his witness. But folks, I'm going to say this, that the test of everything, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 10:31, is whatever we do, do it to the glory of God. So if you're here this morning, make sure as we go to prayer that we adjust our hearts. I'm going to do the best I can, Lord, today to glorify you in the preaching of the word and in the response to it. And I pray that'll be the case with all of us. Just a couple things that I want to mention this morning. In Deb's absence, there may be a little bit of confusion about things, but that's not new. We're always a little confused, but if any of you are looking to the family fun night that's scheduled in August, I believe it's on the 16th, that will not be held in August. We're going to have to postpone that due to several people being gone at that time and to pull that off. But we will do that or somehow do it on a Wednesday evening. And also, the church picnic is the 16th. That's a Saturday at 1 o'clock down here at Grant Park. That's in Chicago, Drake Park. And so, you know, we'll have some directions with that, but we usually will just bring something from home. If you're a cheapskate, baked beans. If you like to really put out, no. And if you need some vegetables or something, come on down. I'll give you something if you're going to cook it. But anyway, come and enjoy the fellowship. We will have games that afternoon as well. Just some time to visit and enjoy one another's company. So today, what else did I have written down here? Anyway, that's a change, though, that we need to anticipate. And just keep an eye on things. We'll keep you informed. Anyway, with that said, let's go to prayer this morning. And the title of our message, again, is the next part in this of exploring God's rules for the two sexes. We're going to finish with women today, one way or another, Lord willing. Always put that little caveat in there. But again, this message will explain one of many reasons why we're in troubled times as we live today in the world around us. So pray about that this morning again, that God would use this time in the Word to change us, to grow us, and to cause us to be more in love with the people of the world. I mean that. I just say this before I go to prayer. We studied in 1 John. We've been studying that in the junior, senior high class for a few weeks now. 1 John is something every Christian or non-Christian needs to read, but specifically Christians, because we all need a biblical cross face to get it right and to rethink and to think where we're at in our faith. So I encourage you to look at that. If I've forgotten anything else, it'll come back to me when it does. But we're going to just take a few moments now to align our hearts as we again prepare to show the Lord we love him and that he indeed is worthy of our praise and glory, which he is in our lives. So we're going to take a few moments of silent prayer, and then I'll open up with a pastoral prayer, and we'll get into the meat of the day. Shall we pray together? Lord God, thank you for the quietness as we take a time of introspection, Lord, to examine our own lives and our own relationship with you. And Lord, I confess to you I fall short in so many ways. But Lord, you, again, are worthy of all of our praise, even in our weaknesses and frailties. You come through, Lord. It's all about you. So today, Lord, as we begin this time of worship and a study in the Word, where your Holy Spirit may have the potential, Lord, today to work on the hearts of people. May we just stop for a minute, Lord, and reflect on how awesome you are and what a good God you are. You're worthy of more praise than all humanity could ever give. You're an awesome and wonderful God. And we thank you today, not only for you, God the Father, but for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was sent and came voluntarily to give his life as a payment for our sin, and rose the third day. The one who one day, Lord, at the timing that you have, will appear in the clouds just as he left, Lord, as he comes to put down evil in this world at the Battle of Armageddon, and, Lord, to work the end times events. Lord, we know your days are close, and from all the indications in Scripture. And so, Lord, we look with anticipation in how you will unwind the age. And Holy Spirit, we thank you today, too, as well, for your indwelling presence. You're the one who comes alongside, who is with us ever, the earnest, the down payment of our salvation, the comforter. And so, Lord, we thank you today for your person of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. May he be active today, Lord, slicing and dicing as it needs to be, compelling, convicting. Lord, may he have free course as we look into your word this day. Now, Lord, we thank you for all that have come through these doors today. We thank you that you have placed us where you have here in Fruitland. Lord, we pray for our community. We pray, Lord, that they would see something here that is worth their time, Lord, that they would see you, because you're the only one that's worth time, that and people, Lord. So I pray for our community, our next-door neighbors here. Father, I pray for our flock here today, and we know that in the hearts of humanity, there are all kinds of things that are going on today, Lord. This prayer seems to sound the same every week, but Lord, I pray that you would speak to folks where they're at today. And Lord, if they're not gathered, but could be, Lord, I pray that you'll convict them. But Lord, if they're not able to be here for other reasons, then I pray, Lord, you'll walk and act in those areas in their life and that they'll see you today, Lord, at this time. Now, Lord, we know that, Lord, there's so many things to pray about, but we thank you for that venue where we can come to you personally and communicate with you, the great Creator God, the Redeemer God. Thank you for that, Jesus, for that intimate fellowship. Now, Lord, I'm responsible here today to you and to this flock here to deliver a message today, Lord, to be your servant. I pray you'd help me because you know, Lord, I'm not capable, and you can go right down the line. And yet, Lord, you've called me, so it's going to have to be your help that gets this accomplished today, Lord. But I thank you that you have allowed me to be one who has spoken for you now for quite a while, Lord. I pray that you'll just be in a part of that as long as it's to be. And, Lord, that there'd be fruit from it. So I pray for your help today, Lord, as I preach. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Well, folks, we live in some pretty troubled times. But it's not the first time this world's been in trouble. It's always been in trouble. And it always will be till the Prince of Peace is back on the throne and he sets the whole thing straight in his end times program. But folks, one thing as we look into this subject, and again, I hope that you're not being bored with this, but there's so much that needs to be said. I never want to be a boring speaker or hold you in a thing where you hate to come back to hear it because it's the same thing. But let me just simply say this, that God's morality will never go out of style. God never changes. What he has said and what his plan is and how it is ordained will come off exactly as he wants it to happen in his time. People throughout ages in our fallenness have tried to compromise. We've tried to redirect what God said. You can go many places today that call themselves churches, and they're going to try to bend the Word of God to fit people to tickle their ears. But folks, what God's Word truly means, and you can find that, and I can find that through the study of the Word and the impartation of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to go to some big theological institution or seminary. A study Bible is good, a concordance, a commentary is good, but folks, the Holy Spirit will teach you in all things. And that's where we need to be involved in the Word. And I covet more of that time. But isn't it interesting how things happen and we don't get into the Word as we should? That's why we've got to speak and preach the Word here at Fruitland. We may not all agree about this, but I'm going to say this again on the basis of the Word of God. God's morality has not changed. People may fool around with it, but folks, when we go against God's morality, it will not be profitable. Bottom line, sine qua non in the Latin, that's what that means, bottom line. So we're here today in love to proclaim some of these things. Are there troubles between husbands and wives, men and women? Absolutely. Are there troubles between the bride of Christ and Jesus the groom? Absolutely, but this book will keep us straight. And I believe this with all my heart, the book will always be right. We have to conform to it, not it to us. So anyway, with that said, you know I get a little radical at times, but I'm over that now. Now we'll just take a look in the Word of God. So for those of you that haven't been here, listen to the tapes on the, or the recordings on the internet. But today we're gonna continue on with our study for the gals. Next week, men, you better be prepared, because I've already got the message written, and it ain't pretty, because we don't stack up too well. The ladies are pretty, but they don't stack up so well either. I had to say that, of course, because, no, I meant it. But today, we were looking last week, once again, at some of the things that are important in the role of the female, and in some cases as a wife, but also a single person or a young person, and how the instruction and how all these things are laid out in the Scriptures. But we found last week, and we ended with Ephesians 5:33, with some things that are perceived to be very tough in our current world. And that is the relationships between women and men in the marriage unit, and how there is a line that God has there of His protocol, and why we resist that. So I won't re-preach that message or why that has a tendency to do that to us. But today, I'll just simply say this, that if we'll do it God's way, it will work. If we don't, it won't. But the basis, again, it's just like in wrestling. When you get into trouble, you got to come back to your base. If you're struggling today in these types of relationships, I believe we've got to come back, and the Bible says we've got to come back to our base, which is Jesus Christ and His teachings from the Word of God. He designed us. He's the one that will tell us how to make it work right or how to fix it. Okay? And the best thing is, He doesn't just tell us. He'll what? He'll help us. He'll help us. And that's the good thing about our Lord. He has a desire for all of us today to come to Him. He's waiting. He's saying, just come to me. Stop fighting with this stuff. Just come to me. I'll help you. He wants to be the center of our lives, the center of our marriages, the center of our relationships. Folks, when we leave Him out, there's an empty spot that cannot be filled. And so He is vital to our walk. Anyway, today, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles or on your devices as we go on with this about the wife being a complement to her husband. Okay? A complement to her husband. And we found that last week how, you know, in relationships, if you are in a married relationship, God wants the two of you to fit like hand and glove. There's a physical sense to that as well, with the terms that I used here again about receptor and effector, and you can think that through, but God has a design that's perfect. You know, things that are designed by humans are less than perfect, but His design is perfect, and it'll work. He's the ultimate engineer. But I'd like us to turn today in our Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Or on your device, whatever the case may be here today, as we look in, investigate just a little bit more in the Word of God here about this husband and wife relationships. Colossians chapter 3, and I want to focus this morning on verses 18 and 19. And as we absorb this morning, and here again, we find what I laid out last week. The second word in this verse is hupotasso, which means, in the Greek, to place oneself in rank, under. It's a military term. God has given the directives of how we operate. God has ordained, again, our first priority is Him. The second priority, again, is for men, and in this case, husbands, to be under God. And thirdly, for the ladies to be under a godly husband. Now, when we take God out of that picture, things get very rocky. By the way, children come down the line, children, and we'll look at that eventually here too, obey your parents in the Lord. See, this whole thing fits when it all is done the way God wants it to fit. But Colossians 3, 18 and 19 this morning. This is a very hard word in the King James Version in our modern world. Read it. Wives, submit your... I just wanted to get your eye attention here. You already know this does not mean what conventional wisdom, wicked wisdom of the world says. Men, you are not to enslave your wife. You are not to browbeat your wife. You are not to physically abuse your wife or verbally abuse your wife. You are to what? Love your wife. You're going to get that next week if we get there. It's not looking good, though, again, but we got to wrap this up. There's powers that be that have told me to get going. Wives, hupotasso yourselves unto your own husbands. Notice there, unto your own husbands, if you're in a marriage relationship, as it is fit or fitting in the Lord. In other words, this is what God wants us to do. This is His relationship order that He has. And now, husbands, love your wives. By the way, it's a lot easier for your wife to hupotasso you if you love her. You get what I'm saying? Yes, I should have given Kim a kiss this morning. Well, I did earlier, but yeah. She'll tell you she gets in trouble all the time. Ask her why I call her Cobblestone Kim after services. Husbands, love your wives and be not... See, folks, what God's laying out here through the hand of the Apostle Paul, he says it's a two-way street. But today we're focusing on the gals. Ladies, if you have a husband that is not in alignment with the Lord, prayer, love for that person, an example that you set for that person, for him, will make or could make a difference. And there are many things. But don't throw your relationship out. Now again, there are times, the Bible even would endorse, there's times when we have to separate from an abusive partner, things of that nature. But it is never God's will to see things rent asunder, especially in marriage. And what God wants for everyone is reconciliation. First of all, He wants us to be reconciled to Him, but we need to be reconciled one to another. By the way, it's so good to be with you folks. You put up with a lot off of me. I enjoy coming here and talking with you folks. Let's go to Proverbs 12:4. I don't want to be too hard on the ladies today, but Proverbs 12:4. And like I've told you, it's better that ladies be hard on each other in love. But I have to preach the word, and I want to do it in a way, again, that has an appealing effect for people to change to the Lord. Okay? Proverbs 12:4, just something to by the way, I can't preach the whole Bible in a lifetime, but you can read it. It's all in there. Proverbs 12:4 says this: a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Virtuous meaning what? I'm going to just use this term, valuable, because of not her looks, not all the other things, but because she is unique and special as your complement, your fitting partner. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Meaning what? An enhancement. I don't want to pick with Kim in that, because, you know, I shouldn't do that. But I've told Kim before, I've never been sorry to have you with me. I give her credit on that. But, there's always that but. She that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Jesus, or God said this, not me. Well, I repeated it. But ladies, we got to look at that factor too. There's a lot of stuff that is going on that bears our attention. God wants a united front between husbands and wives. Anyway, enough said on that. But I'd like you to go over to the little epistle of Titus. 2 Timothy, Titus. And we'll keep this moving this morning. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. And we'll hear more next week, but we already heard this morning there in Colossians. Husbands are to what? Love their wives. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands need to be givers. Men need to be givers. And they need to have unconditional love. Boy, doesn't that hit hard when we think about it. But here we find something else in Titus 2 that confirms this. And we looked at this briefly under the role of teaching on the women's side of things. But notice here, women are to teach young women to be serious or sober. And the next phrase? Somewhere here, I was talking with someone, I don't remember who it was, but I said, women can be a lot of trouble, but they're good. Come on, lighten up. Huh? Well, if you've had a favorite car, it can give you trouble, but it's still good. But ladies, love your husbands. Teach others to love your husbands, to love their, and teach others to love their children. God wants us to love our mates. And he gives that very clearly in Scripture. How is love effected? Well, that can be difficult at times. But if we search our hearts, God will guide us. Is the motive that you have toward your spouse today one of love? Or is it a battle? I got to just take this time right now. I'll give the rest of this briefly. And if we aren't done today, well, so what, right? We have Stephen coming in 2 weeks. He'll give you a break. Grandma and Grandpa Robinson, how many of you have heard this story? Any of you have? Gene's heard it, a few of you. Some of you don't listen, but I'm going to tell it again. Grandma and Grandpa Robinson got married. I believe it was in 1917 or 19, around there, 1919 maybe. Because my mom, Charlotte, was on the way. They never loved each other. I used to go to Grandma and Grandpa's house. They slept in separate bedrooms. Well, that isn't always unusual, I guess. Well, for some it might be. Grandpa worked for the Rock Island Railroad. And, you know, he brought home pretty good pay. But as soon as Grandpa was paid, Grandma was out shopping. It wouldn't be unusual to go over on 11th Street, go to the door, and she's not there. Why? Well, she went to Davenport to have pie. They hated each other. They coexisted. Grandpa did things in life early on that weren't right either. He had some too close of relationships with other ladies, things like that. That doesn't suit well with people. But you know what? In the end, it all worked out all right. Because what happened in all this is my mom got saved as a young child. Well, an early teen. Up at what used to be First Baptist Church. It's where the Vineyard is now. When an evangelist came to town. And she went home and said, I received Christ as my Savior tonight. Grandma and Grandpa Robinson says, what do you want to believe in that stuff for? But God used my mom as a catalyst in that family. They lost a brother to kidney disease when he was young. Aunt Betty came around. Some of you know Aunt Betty. Oh, she could be a handful. But the point of all this is that through the Lord working in my mom's life, Grandpa got cancer after he retired from the railroad. But when he knew he had limited time, and by the way, we're all on limited time today, not just in our service time, but get things set straight today with the Lord. But you know what? For the last several months of their life, they had a wonderful relationship because you know what they did? They forgave one another. Grandpa Robinson got saved. Grandma Robinson got saved in the ensuing years. And before it was all over, they reconciled with each other. And there was joy. See, that's the history that I have. I've told it before. I wouldn't be up here before you today. And we all make mistakes. But God is there if we'll go to Him. The point being, though, folks, if you're struggling today with relationships, let it go. And let God. By the way, it's like with the cows. The grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. Because let me tell you, when they go through the fence, when the grass grows up in the pasture they came from, they'll jump the fence to get back in it. Whoever God gave you today, stay with it. Love your wife. Wife, love your husbands. Time's running out. Because if you don't do that, it's going to have an effect on your offspring and those around you. Enough said. It's going to have an effect for Jesus if you do it. It's something you need to think about, and I need to think about. But God's way will never go out of style. You can talk to me anytime about that. Oh, I could tell you stories of the whole family and all. Someone asked, where do you get your sermon fodder? I don't need a book or a computer. I got enough stuff I've lived through to preach as many years as God will let me. We got to go. But it's serious. The next little thing I want to share here today, and I know we've got some young ears and eyes, and Sharon, will you forgive me for last Wednesday night having a little joke about age? It doesn't matter what age you are, Sharon, because the Bible applies, and I'll be very careful. But hear me out on this, folks. Wives and men, but wives in particular, are to be a blessing with each other in sexual relations. That's a part of all this, and we have to talk about it. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5. Again, I want to be very tactful. I'm just going to read the scriptures. 1 Corinthians, I'm having a hard time turning pages. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5. You know, God didn't leave any details out on life. But He does want us to have joy. And if you've ever come to me for counseling about marriage, this aspect of the life that we have is communication. And most relationships where they have a downfall is with communications. But this is one of the indicators if your communication system is working properly. Here's what Paul wrote. He says here, in 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now this is what he meant by that. You ought to touch your wife. Wives, you need to touch your husband. If you go outside of that, things get way out of hand. And the boundaries, and there's going to be trouble. And Paul says this, don't put your hands in places that you shouldn't put them. Because once you do, the door is open. But here's what he says. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, we'll get to that later, what fornication is, but fornication is sex outside of marriage, whether you're in a marriage bond or not married. Nevertheless, to avoid, that's in italics, fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. I like how all this is written in the King James. It's good for me to present this morning here, and likewise also the wife under her husband. I'm going to say it very tactfully. Are you communicating in God's venue of communication that He's listed in these verses? All I'm going to say further is, it's very important. I thought there'd be an amen somewhere. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise, also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Do I need to say anything more? Communication. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. If your communication lines in this venue, wives and husbands, are broken, Satan has an open door. Can you dig it? It's very important stuff. So I'm going to leave that at that. If you want to talk further, we can. But men and women, husbands and wives, are to be a blessing to each other in their sexual relations. We'll move on from that rapidly. Ephesians 5:22-30. Ephesians 5:22-30. This is just a reinforcement of this idea of hupotasis, the rank, and falling in line with God's desire in how he has set things in his order. Ephesians 5:22-30. And we'll begin. And here we find again, just as we read earlier. By the way, if God says it twice or three times, wives, hupotasso yourselves, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Here again, the chain of command. For the husband is the head of the wife. By the way, husbands, you're responsible for your wife. I mentioned last week why Eve got into trouble. Because ding-a-ling Adam wasn't there. But you can't be everywhere, though. But the point is, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. By the way, men, you ought to be looking out for your wives, as Christ looks out for the church. Amen. Old people. Used to be, you walk down 2nd Street in Muscatine. How many of you even remember what 2nd Street used to be like? I think there's very few of us left. Gene, still this. Sharon, sure. Rose, you know. But you know, back in the real old days, men walked on the side of the street. The ladies walked on the side of the building. Why? Because if a horse got loose, it's going to take the guy out first. And the lady should have what? She should be protected. By the way, how many today, what's it like? Folks, the way it's gone when we got out of God's order. Just the title of our message. You can think about little simple things like that. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in did tell you, though, Kim, if you buy a farm, please talk to me. We really do have a lot of fun. But there's times. Husbands, love your wives. You're going to hear this again. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You, husbands, are to be givers to your wives as God loves the church. By the way, we need to be recognizing that. Single ladies, widows, the Bible speaks specifically about that. They should be the focus of our benevolence and help. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. By the way, folks, men especially today, we'll hit on this later. Is that the case in our lives today? So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Men love themselves. It's wrong. It's sin. But let me tell you, and I've thought about this a lot, and I've tried very hard not to be that way, but men have a tendency to take care of themselves first. Everyone else later. Doesn't line up with Scripture. Because as it says here, as Paul says, no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and the two shall be joined unto his wife, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Receptor, effector. Think of those words, effector, receptor. That's how God designed it. He says, this is a great mystery. Marriage, by the way, speaks of the relationship between Christ and his church. He the groom, the believer's the bride. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. By the way, that mystery has been revealed, though. It's still something we can't comprehend very well, but but it has been revealed. That's the kind of love that God wants between men and women. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that, and this is a hard one again, see that she reverence her husband. I ask this, men and husbands, are you worth respecting? Because that's what that word means. It doesn't say you shouldn't, you know, be, if they don't, if you're not worth respecting, but the point here, folks, is it's God's order. But men, husbands, you better get your act together. Because I'll tell you this, your wife's not going to have one problem obeying God if she sees God in you. Amen? We got to go. If you have questions, I'll be at the door. Well, unless I'm not at the door. Otherwise, you can get a hold of me. But here it is. Let's finish this off quick. You already know this. I already told you. There's two terms the Bible uses. Fornication, that's sex outside of marriage. Whether you're involved in a marriage or not married. There's also the term adultery, which is sex with someone that's not your spouse in marriage. Because it violates again the effector and receptor design that God has created for mankind. So here's one of the things that we're going to talk about this morning, and this is an adult subject as well. Someone has said lesbianism is not mentioned as a sin in the Bible. That is correct. In the respect of, like in Leviticus 18, where some of these relationships are talked about, but the Bible speaks to it later on. And by the way, if you read Romans 1, it's Paul tags it there. And what he says in Romans, he says, he never endorses it. He says, this will be the symptoms. Homosexuality, lesbianism in the ladies and so forth. That's going to be the symptoms of a culture that has gone what? The term that's used in the King James Bible is reprobate. In other words, they have turned themselves over to a reprobate mind and a mindset, but God also allows them to go right down that line. You can read it in Romans 1. So any deviant sexual acts are not in God's favor. And don't let anyone tell you they are, because the scriptures are airtight on all of that, folks. Does that mean, though, that God doesn't love people that are struggling with these issues? What about the issue of same-sex attractions? Well, let me tell you, folks, it's no different than someone that's attracted to steal a candy bar. Because it's what? It's sin. You know, we got to come to grips with this, folks, that sin is sin. And I'm telling you this morning, this room is filled with sinners. It may not be that of that persuasion, but that persuasion is no different than the person that punches the time clock 15 minutes after they've quit working for the day. They're a thief. And it's sin. It's no different than the man who lusted after a woman in his heart. It's adultery. It's sin. You go right down the line, folks. The Bible never excuses it. I want to be sure that we know that today. But the thing that I want us to know as we close today is no matter what it is you and I are struggling with, God can help you today. And we're going to learn that in just a minute if you give me a couple extra minutes. 1 Corinthians 6:18 this morning, or 6:13 and 18 this morning. 1 Corinthians 6:8 and 13. No, I'm wrong here. Hold on. 1 Corinthians 6:13 and 18. Excuse me. Here it is. Paul's pretty plain about this as he writes to the church in Corinth. By the way, what was going on in Corinth? The same thing that's going on in all the churches. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for, but for, and the Lord for the body. Now verse 18. Flee. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. You think about that one, and the Holy Spirit will give you all the answers on that. And then go one further turn in this, Galatians 5:19. Galatians 5 and 19. And there's plenty in the Bible about this to investigate. Paul writes here to the church at Galatia. He says this, and by the way, he just before he says that, but if you are in 18, he says, but if you are led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. No, we're not under the law, but the law makes known our sin and our need for Christ. And here's what he says in 19. Now the works of the flesh, that's of our old humanity versus our born-again state. There should be a difference, he says. But the works of the flesh are manifest, they're made known, they're listed. Which are these? Notice what the first two are. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Uncleanness is impure intent sexually, and lasciviousness. And he goes right on down the line. These things are never going to be a part of God's program, and they should not be for the believer. But help is there. One last turn today. If you go into Colossians chapter 3, and I want you to mark in here also Ephesians 4. Colossians 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. The hope that we find is in Christ, but it is not necessarily going to be something that's just going to happen. Even though it could, because I still believe in the God of miracles. God can deliver you today miraculously from whatever enslavement of sin may be a part of your situation. But in most cases, He's going to want us to do it in a way that shows His trust and His presence with us along the journey to recover from it. And it is simply this, it's the concept of putting off and putting on. We in our flesh, even as born-again believers, if you're here today struggling with a sin issue, it is not as easy as putting things off and being done with it. Because Satan continually pokes us. He knows our weak spots. But what Jesus is telling us through the hand of the Apostle Paul, he says, when you put things off, it is also your responsibility to put something on to fill that leftover gap. And that is the things of Christ. And so if you and I are struggling with these issues today, we're talking again to women here in particular this morning, but men and women, we've included both, God has. He says this, that this battle that we are in involves us not only physically putting off the sin, but also putting on in place of that the things of God. And that's the pattern. If you were to come to me and say, John, I'm struggling, I'm going to say, this is the pattern, how it's fixed. Sure, you can pray about it. God may miraculously deliver you and take that taste away. By the way, there's been people that have been addicted to a lot of things that God's taken the taste away immediately. He can do that, but in many cases, He may not choose to do it because He wants you to learn something and me to learn something. And the basis of what He wants us to learn is that we can trust Him and His ways will work. Anyway, Colossians. And I got to find my place here. The whole thing here, though, is good. You can read it, verse 5. But here's what he says about these things, the sins. It culminates here, starting in verse 8. But now ye also put off all these. Today's the day to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm done with this stuff. You help me, please. And I want to fill this with the things that will replace it. The new things of you. Put off all these. And notice, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. He's talking about, by the way, all these sins that we have are there. If there's struggles today in your sexuality, your gender identity, put off the things that aren't of God and accept the things that are of God. And work through it and see Him change you. You can't change yourself. But He'll do it. And He'll do it one step at a time, maybe in leaps at a time. Because look down here at verse 10. Don't go along with the old, but Paul says, but have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You see, God will help you today and me, and by the way, I'm in these things in my life. I'm no different than you are. Maybe some of you are a lot better, in a better shape than me, but we're all in the same boat. Right? But God has given us freedom. And he will set us free from the things that hinder us in our marital relationships, whether you're a gal here today or a guy, or in any other relationships, he will help us. And he's given us the system to see it take place and to bring upon blessings to those that will do it God's way. See, we're out of time, but coming back to where I started, God's morality is not going to change. But if you want to change today, God will help you line up with his morality. And I believe this with all my heart. You may not be blessed materially through it, but you'll be blessed. You can walk around with a light and free heart in Christ, no matter what happens. But if you've done it the way he says, folks, I believe this, he'll honor that in people's lives. Well, today, as I always say, is a day, it's the first day of recovery from all these different things. And maybe for many, we can testify it's a great day where God has led me from. But there's got to be a first step in everything. Because if you don't get to the first step, there's not an ending. And of course, as always, today, our need for Christ is apparent. First of all, if you've never had your sins forgiven, this is the day. We can't count on anything to come other than what God's Word says. But if we know that we placed our sins under His blood and in the power of the resurrection, He'll throw the chains off today and it'll be different. And then again, that's our relationship to the Lord, but the relationship with one another, it's none too early to go to work on troubles today. To receive and be in the blessings of the future. Amen? And Jesus' help and his hope are available and near to you today. He's just a call away. Thank you for your good attention this morning. Men, we'll whip on you a little next week. And me. No, God's not whipping us. He just wants us to see what he's got set up. Because the world has intervened on our thinking. But God's thinking will never go out of style. Amen. Let's take our hymnals today and stand if you're able. Number 579. Isn't this an appropriate hymn today? How many of you believe this today? If you don't believe it, I tell you this today, step out and see what God will do. But I'll guarantee you, not on what I say, but on the basis of his word, those he loves, he'll take care of. He will take care of you. It's not a problem if someone wants to step out today for Jesus. It'll be the best thing you ever did. And I'm up here because I need to be, but I'll greet you as well. But today is a good day, once again, to consider our lives and how they line up to God's desire for us. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you. I'm going to do a little something different as we sing that last refrain. If God's taking care of you, will you step out this morning and testify that he has? That's a challenge for you today. Come and join me up here. He's always taking care of me. And I believe he will, everyone. Let's give him that glory today. But I hope there will be no seat here in this place empty as we do that. Because I want you to know today, if you didn't come, he's going to take care of you if you'll go to him. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon his breast. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Lord, bless this afternoon. Be it known, he will take good care of you. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. I'd be glad to greet you at the door. Father, thank you today that we can have, again, that assurance, full assurance, that when we've, again, put our faith and trust in you and had our sins forgiven, it's all in your hands, Lord. All we need to do is submit to you. And you've done perfectly, Lord, just like you say. Now I pray for anyone today, Lord, that may doubt that, that they'll have that assurance. They can have it today. And Lord, when we think of these relationships between the men and the women and the world that we're in today, Lord, we try every other way but doing it yours. I pray that you'll convict the hearts, Lord, that yet in our world today there can be healing. And Lord, we can see good things happen, people to be revived in you. Now dismiss us with your care, I pray today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Did you give your wife a hug yet?
I gave her a fist bump again.
No,
Teresa, hang in there.
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Yeah. Ladies, Alicia, good to see you today.
Good to see you.
Zalpha, thank you. Corey?